B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
My television does not work.
I'm BasilMarceau.com, the Republican candidate for governor. I'd like to recall all permits and registration for guns. Everyone can carry guns. If you kill someone, no, you get murdered. You go to jail. And I like to put plant grass or vegetation across the state with any vacant lot and sell it for gas so we can use it for our expenses. Also, I'm going to remove all gold fringe flags from the state and fly the real flag with three stripes. I also want to stop traffic stops. Set it up like the Supreme Court ruled in Knowles versus Iowa. You can't find evidence in a car, you can't look. I want you all to vote for Basil Marceau. I want you to say the Pledge of Allegiance to a Republic in the morning when you come out. And we all pray to God and say amen. And everyone have a nice day. And I see you all at the polls. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. Search the Sports Hub. You can get the Twitch app and go ahead and do that as well. I was shocked to see this, but college kids actually did something funny.
Oh, and, I think I know what you're going
to
say.
Yeah, and very necessary. There was a Taco Bell closing in State College, and they had a vigil.
It was like a candlelight vigil. Was this in Pennsylvania, I believe?
State College.
Yep. Okay.
Penn State.
How is a Taco Bell closing in a college town? Like, how did it not make enough money to stay open? Unless this is something where a developer came in and is going to put something completely different there. But, I mean, have you ever been to a Taco Bell in
you
a college
be
town
able
before?
To print money on a big college campus like that.
Oh, there's no question.
I don't know. You get these big developers, and they could care less about what the kids want.
That reminds me of, did you guys read that story that was in the Globe this past week about a taco place? There's this place, I think it's called El Jefe Tacos. It's a chain that started, I think, in near Harvard Square or somewhere in Cambridge. And it, you know, caters to college students, and it's open late at night. And they're going to open one right near Emerson College, I think kind of over near where the TAM is in that area. And so they applied for a permit to stay open until 2 a.m. Because, I mean, think about, like, when you were in college, the places that you ended up eating at, like, 1 in the morning were just as slammed as they were at 1 in the afternoon. I mean, they're packed. It was kind of prime time. And the city is telling them no. They're saying, sorry, you got to close at midnight. We can't keep you open until 2 a.m. This reputation that this city has is utterly, they can't shake it because of stupid stuff like this. That for years, Boston has always had this, it's like a no party city, you can't entertain. It's why, like, different conventions and stuff, you know, won't come to Boston,
like,
because
blue laws.
Yeah, like these crazy blue laws. And it's and the fact that, and it, like, underneath a college building where dorms are, it's literally going to be at the bottom of one of the buildings where the dorms are at Emerson. They're not letting this place stay open till 2 in the morning because, I don't know, some weird-ass puritanical thing that they've got going on there. It's absolutely insane. And, like, it was just recently that the bars and restaurants were able to stay open, you know, past a certain amount of time. And the fact that the tea doesn't stay open later, too, so these employees can't get to and from work is utterly ridiculous.
Public transportation in this city is a different animal.
Well, I mean, they'll never get it right. They'll never get it right.
I know. That's separate from the issues you're talking about.
Well, no, it kind of is a hand in hand because you can't because their whole thing is like we can't. You know, there's people who want to work at these restaurants and these bars and these clubs, but they can't get home if they take the tea. Like the tea will shuts down at. What is it, 12:30? Is that the last time?
Right for along most of those lines, maybe a little later.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, you know, these establishments want to stay up until 2 o'clock, and if you took the tea to work, you know, you're sitting there having to pay to you know, take an Uber back to Revere or wherever you live.
Car.
What's that?
You could have a car.
Parking in the city? that'll kill you.
Well, you know, sometimes you have to sacrifice if you want to work at the taco place.
That might be the case.
Maybe they should just open up a restaurant called Skins.
Skins.
And just have it be all potato skins.
The old skin store?
Yeah, it's just called Skins.
Well, you heard what they're doing. It's funny, right near where this El Jefe place is going to be over at Emerson, I told you at the end of the day yesterday, at the end of the show, you know, they're taking out the Explorator that's right there in the corner of Boylston and Tremont, and they're gutting it out, and now it's going to be not one but two Guy Fieri restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like the Guy Fieri, because
Boylston and Tremont?
Yep.
That's how I get to work.
No, right next to the AMC movie theater, right there on Boston Common.
Route 9 in Tremont?
Boylston. Boylston's long. I mean, but this is right by the Common.
No, but I take Tremont here.
Yeah.
I take a right on Tremont.
Yeah, I mean, this is Boston Common.
Off of Boylston. Route 9.
Okay, but this maybe it's a different intersection, but that's Boylston and Tremont right there, right at the Boston Common.
Well, there's two Boylston streets. I take a right. Right there on Tremont Street. Take that son of a
Theater District? Because that's where it is.
I don't know. But it's not in the Theater District. But I'm Tremont and Boylston.
Well, then they must be two different ones then.
All right.
But so they're gutting it out. And the big complaint about the old, not the old, but the tequila cachina of Guy Fieri's over the TD Garden was there wasn't enough Fieri's. So they said, let's give the people what they want. Like, this is the full douche package. Like, you get all of it.
They bring in the napkins over. That's all I care about.
Oh, yeah. You walk in and there's knuckle sandwich t-shirts that you can buy. There's pictures of him with Sammy Hagar. This is what you wanted.
Well, Hagar's got to be a minority owner.
I mean, you would think so. Maybe they serve only Cabo Wabo tequila there.
You know, I would imagine that unless Fieri's dipped his toe into the world of tequila.
Maybe, and that might be I know he's got like Hunter and Rye wine, I think is the name of his wine.
Oh, Hunter and Rye.
Yeah, that's right.
Are the names of his children, I would imagine.
They are the names of his children, I believe, yeah. And he did not want Guy Fieri's name anywhere on it. He wanted to, you know, succeed on its own, but you can't keep the Fieri fanatics away from that wine.
No, like a lot of people probably disappointed and just saying, give me some flames.
So you're going to have that whole thing right there at the corner. And then next to it, attached to it, is going to be a second Guy Fieri restaurant, a more cash one. You know, because you want to take the other one's a date night place, because we really want to impress him. You know, first night, you take him to Fieri's if you really want
to.
That's
a panty dropper.
You want to drop the panties, that's where you go. And then next door is going to be this place with chicken fingers called Chicken Guy with an exclamation point.
And there's, did you say there was 30 dipping sauces?
Dude, 30 extreme dipping sauces.
Some of those have to be absolutely revolting.
Okay. You know what? Here's the strange thing about that restaurant. So I mentioned on the air yesterday, and everyone who had been there, there's one, I guess, in Orlando at like Disney World. And
it then doesn't
there's another
seem like
one.
Guy.
It does not seem like Guy at all.
Central Florida? Come on.
Everyone who has been to a Chicken Guy restaurant says it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's fried chicken. Of course it's
which
good.
Is like, how can it be bad? And so I read all the reviews, and everyone's like, yeah, it's unbelievable. And there's websites that rank all 30 of the dipping sauces
well, what
order.
I'm saying is that if there's 30 dipping sauces, at least five have to be just
garbage.
Just absolutely gross.
Right, the names of them are probably like, you know, dumpster juice.
Or like donkey sludge.
Well, donkey sauce is one. Sauce apparently is one of the top rated sauces. Over at Chicken Guy!
Now, has anyone here had donkey sauce?
Yeah, donkey sauce is on... It's something
Russian dressing?
I think it pretty much is. I think it's... it's like aioli, which is mayonnaise and ketchup mixed together. I think it's like... What do they call that? French?
That's Thousand Island dressing.
It's like Thousand Island. I think it's essentially a Thousand Island, but they call it donkey sauce.
All right. Brian has been to Chicken Guy. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Right. Hey, I went to a Chicken Guy down at Disney Springs in Florida, and let me tell you something. So I'm anti Guy Fieri as well. You know, I agree with you guys on all of this stuff. But my wife brought me into this place. I probably had the best chicken sandwich I think I've ever had in my life. I'm not lying to you.
I don't doubt it.
Just one question.
It was Flavor Town all the way, baby.
Was it off the chain?
Oh, man, off the hook, man.
It was on like Donkey Kong as soon as he walked in there. Again.
That's what you're all getting for Christmas. Chicken Guy gift cards.
Excellent.
I mean, it's fried chicken sandwiches. I would imagine that they're fairly good.
And that is a smart move because, once again, all the little colleges down there, that's going to be right across from the taco place.
Yeah, but that seems like out of people's price range.
The old Chicken Guy?
$60 chicken sandwich. Comes with a touch of guy.
That's also like prostitute corner, so that should be quite a group of people hanging out. A chicken guy.
There's nothing like a prostitute on the street.
I mean, you drive down that road. It's like between Boylston and and Chinatown. It's that stretch of road right there on Boylston, and it is just. That's the streetwalkers. Like, I mean, from what used to be the red light district, it's just consolidated to that one, like, block now.
Yeah, no, the combat zone was this. What you're seeing now is nothing.
Oh, of course not. It's totally
how bad it used to be.
Oh, there's no question. Matter of fact, just in the last 15 years, since I've been here, it's like gone from, it's night and day.
But about 15 years before that,
oh yeah,
you didn't venture close.
But that one block, though, if you drive like through there, like 2 or 3 in the morning, that's the freaks come out at night.
It's a throwback to the way it used to be.
For one block.
For one block.
The best thing about the combat zone was it like had porn theaters.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is a blast from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, Rich, what is coming up?
Oh, well, let's listen to some enhanced audio of Tom Brady and Julian Edelman.
Woo-hoo!
Find out what they really had to say.
All right. We will figure all that out in just a moment.
Thatcher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Free Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Thatcher and Rich.
Oh, thank
you much. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Thatcher and Rich.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, the world spent all day yesterday figuring out what exactly it was that Tom Brady mouthed at the camera when him and his crew of bros, Julian Edelman and randomly Jimmy Fallon, all were saying is they were on television at a Syracuse game, completely random. Was it North Carolina?
It was, North Carolina, Syracuse. Not very good teams.
One mediocre team, one horrible team.
Yeah. And they were just sitting there with the foul man and just saying, let's douche it up.
That was very weird. But at one point, Julian Edelman looked at the camera and said, he's coming back, he's coming back. And there was about 2 seconds, and it looked like Tom Brady mouthed the words, he's not. Well, thanks to the magic of audio enhancement, somebody from the network released this, so we know exactly, or kind of exactly, what Tom Brady said.
The home finale at the Carrier Dome has North Carolina taking on Syracuse with a couple of Hall of Fame head coaches going head-to-head.
That's right. So that's how it started, and here's the enhanced audio.
The home finale at the Carrier Dome has North...
Hang on, was that it right there? Yeah, here. Is it?
He's coming back. He's coming back.
This is crazy.
Okay, so what we heard there is he's coming back, and then for some stupid reason, Jimmy Fallon is looking at the camera and going, this is crazy. What's so crazy about a camera in the face of the greatest quarterback of all time? Dude, you're front row at a basketball game. Like, you've never had a camera on you? What's so crazy about that, douche?
He had to break a character.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And then...
Yeah, he has to sit there, and then he has to start cracking up for absolutely no reason.
For some reason, like, that clip, like, I was less interested in what Brady actually said than fascinated with... Jimmy Fallon saying, this is crazy. This is insane. No, you're in the front row of a nationally televised basketball game with Tom Brady and Julian Edelman.
This is a guy who will bring out, like, you know, Burt Reynolds' towel boy and then, like, double over with excitement.
Let me hear this one more time, because then, of course, you get to hear what Tom Brady had to say.
He's coming back.
This is crazy.
He said, what did you tell Boeheim? It sounded like the person behind the camera told Tom Brady, what'd you tell Boeheim? And it sounds like he said, you got it. So.
That's it.
That's the big puzzle. That's the big reveal. Tom Brady says, you got it. Wow. There you go. So, unfortunately.
He said you got it while he shook his head no.
Sounds like it, Fred. Unless you want to add a little bit of more mystery or intrigue to this whole thing.
Seems like an odd physical motion to make.
Only two more weeks of this nonsense.
Maybe it's something he doesn't want him to have, like the coronavirus. But you got it. He's got it. He's shaking his head.
This is crazy.
He's got it. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. There's a camera in front of me. I spent my whole life in front of a camera. It's crazy.
On YouTube, they have, like, they suggest for me, you know, Saturday Night Live clips.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I've seen one that Fallon's in where he doesn't break. Like, it's ludicrous.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's been in some great skits, but he does break all the time. I mean, the two best skits are of course, Cowbell one, which he broke in that one.
Yeah, well, he breaks, like, he doesn't even wait around in that one.
No, he goes right.
And by the way, he's, like, not even involved in the scene.
Sure.
Isn't he the drummer?
Yeah. Yeah, that was like his first season on the show, too.
What do I know about that? All I know is that he breaks behind the drums, like, before anything happens.
Yeah, and he's also in the old Prospector one with Will Ferrell.
Well, they all break in that. But he's in, you know, when they did the skits that weren't necessarily funny with, if you watch this, you're going to want to kill him. You know the ones, like, at the, like, fancy store where he worked, and there was one with the guy from Will and Grace and one with Pierce Brosnan, and then Will Ferrell comes out in, like, a little rascal.
He's in a rascal, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, like, supposed to be, like, super funny, and it's really not. But there's one with Pierce Brosnan. They're not telling jokes, and he breaks, like 30 seconds into it.
Yeah.
That's terrible. And that was who likes him? What's wrong with you?
He was involved in some great skits, but it wasn't because of him. You're right. You know, thinking back to it, I don't really.
Well, the old Prospector skit
might be one of the top five skits they've ever done.
But that's just an ensemble piece, and then it's all that's completely. What's his face? It's completely.
It's Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
The rest is just, they're all straight men.
Yeah.
But they all break in that because it's like the rehearsal.
Sure.
But do you understand, by the time you get on Saturday Night Live, you have, there's a pitch meeting on Wednesdays where they all pitch their ideas. So they've been gone through. There's a table read in literally, like, 2 hours before the show, they run through the show.
The only one who has an excuse for breaking is when Bill Hader would do Stefan, because the whole joke about that was that the writers, and
Mulaney,
John Mulaney would write a lot of those, who was a guest star this past week, who was very good. He would write stuff and throw it in at the last minute that Bill Hader had not seen.
Well, the part of the thing with Stefan was he was supposed to break. Like, that was that was the goal.
Yeah, he was that's still one of the best characters they've ever had.
With the cowbell thing, like, you know, it's all, you know, everything that's the Prospector thing, he shakes the stuff and does it a lot. And, like, I get it. And it's the rehearsal, so I get it. The cowbell skit, if I've heard the cowbell skit, like, if I watch the cowbell skit now, I'm not, like, doubled over in laughter. I mean, I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid a-hole. He's doing it for attention. I hate him. Brandon, yeah. Go ahead. All right. If you have a skit he doesn't break in, I have to watch it during a break.
Happy Tuesday.
Hey, happy Tuesday, Brandon.
So there's one skit I've seen where he doesn't break, and what's hilarious is all the YouTube comments are, oh, my God, this is the only one where he doesn't break. It's been a while since I've seen it, so I don't know which one it is. I'll find it and send it to you, Fred. And then Jimmy Fallon's just the worst, but you know who's worse is Sarge.
Well, I mean...
Yeah. Apparently, he was on yesterday.
Don't say anything because we might have a clip of that later on. But on top of course, the enhanced audio there were a couple of nuggets because everyone loves.
That's it.
What's that?
What did he say?
Because originally that was what everyone assumed he was saying when Julian Edelman was going, he's coming back. It was that Tom Brady said he's not. You know, he was like, he's not coming back. Like, I'm not returning to the Patriots.
So why is he shaking his head?
I don't know. Fred, I don't know.
Probably because he's next to Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon was saying, you know, hey, it's crazy. Come on, see, I can't believe
Fallon and Edelman in this sitting next to each other. But I think was great.
I'll take Edelman 1,000 times out of 1,000.
I know. I was just going to say, Brady chose to sit next to the right guy. Can you imagine if Fallon, if he was in the middle of the two of them?
Could have
been a lot worse.
He's like, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, heart. And then he'll like, whoa! It's very excited.
Well, Tom Brady nuggets. There was a article that came
little
out.
Little feet. Woo!
Little feet. What was their hit?
Truck Stop Girl.
Oh, see, I don't even know that song. I mean,
Truck Stop Girl?
If I heard it, I'd probably
that
know it.
But song's Jamaroo.
Just one of the worst band names. F-E-A-T. Little feet. Well, Mike Sando of The Athletic wrote an article yesterday saying that Tom Brady is reportedly, quote, putting pressure on the New England Patriots to improve their roster. With speculation surrounding his future, it's beginning to intensify. As a matter of fact, Burt Breer, I did read his thing that he put in the MMQB, and he said that there were rumors that yesterday might have possibly been the meeting between the Patriots and Tom Brady.
Although he
cannot get that confirmed because everyone was saying, of course, during the week at the Combine, Don Yee met with a bunch of different teams but did not meet with the Patriots. So he did have that little nugget in there. On top of that, there is another story by Dan Graziano of ESPN. He said that Antonio Brown's people have been saying that Brady is telling everybody that he wants to stay in contact with Antonio Brown and wants to play with him wherever he goes next.
This is from Antonio Brown.
Yep, according to one of Brown's attorneys. It's not Brown, it's his people.
I'm sure it's completely different.
Brady
They're equally as reliable.
This is according to one of Antonio Brown's attorneys. Brady has told Antonio Brown to keep mentally and physically strong so the two can reunite on the field at Brady's next stop. I actually believe this.
Yeah, after how long a suspension?
I don't think he's going to get suspended.
You don't think Antonio Brown's going to get suspended at all?
For what?
For all of the stuff he's done over the last, you know, the whole truck driver thing? He's going to get off scot-free.
I think his punishment was not playing this last season and making him sit and wait. He lost an entire season.
But the league technically, the league wasn't the ones who did not allow him to
They're
play.
They're going to put his ass on that commissioner's exempt list and make him wait longer. Yeah, absolutely.
They did not, because they haven't done that yet.
He hasn't been on a roster. As soon as he's on a roster, then the NFL can sink their hooks into him.
I got to be honest, as much of as Antonio Brown seems like a horrible person, they're really being jerks to him. I mean, why?
Who's being jerks to him?
The NFL, like making him wait an entire season to have any kind
of ruling.
They can't
do anything to him. He's not employed.
Yeah, no one signed him. It's not the league.
Well, you can say that you are suspended.
Yeah, but they haven't
done that.
You
can't be on a team.
They haven't done that.
That's what I'm saying. They're waiting. And the investigation, they're still investigating him, and they haven't given the results of the investigation.
And you know what? They're still waiting for this latest legal case to play itself out. The stuff with the women is separate from what's going on here. I mean, he is a big problem for you if you are an NFL team. If you're an NFL team, whether or not the NFL has orchestrated this or not, if you sign him and you put him on your roster, you're not going to have him for a period of time.
How funny would it be if this was a Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant situation where you don't really want Kyrie Irving, but in order to get Kevin Durant, you have to get the other guy? So Tom Brady's like, hey, I want Antonio Brown on this team.
No, Brady's smart enough. You don't hit your wagon to this guy.
Not according to Antonio Brown. He says he wants me.
Of course.
Brady, what a good guy.
This story is so great. And you know what? To be quite honest, there's part of me that thinks that Brady truly wants him to be on whatever team he goes to. There's some weird, like bromance between those two guys. Like, he's still putting, like, little comments underneath Antonio Brown's Instagram stories and everything. There's something there.
Maybe it's the end of the line. He's like, I got 2 years left. I don't care. I'm associating with whoever I want to associate with. Well, I don't care what you
maybe
think.
Maybe he liked that Brown went sniveling back to the Steelers and apologized to everyone. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Just wanted to paint this picture for Fred to get him really mad. So, all right, imagine it. They're in Syracuse, Fallon, Brady, and Edelman. Edelman is leaning over Brady's lap to try to pitch skit ideas to Fallon. Fallon's just doubled over in laughter the whole time.
That's probably what happened.
I guarantee that happened the whole time.
Hey, do we?
Like, hey, man.
Do we know that Fallon didn't talk
and I
about
were a couple of cops?
Yeah, that's right. I got one. Yeah, we're. You're the wacky one, and I'm like the cool guy.
Because that was the show he did the Edelman's Catch Fish Restaurant, right? When he was on Fallon. You remember that?
No.
He made the catch in the Super Bowl, and Jimmy Fallon goes, you know, you should open up a restaurant, a fish restaurant called Edelman's Catch. And then, like, Edelman did a whole skit about it where he opened up a fish restaurant called Edelman's Catch. I think
that was
on Fallon.
That's like a celebrity hot tub. It's like one of those seminal Saturday Live bits.
Can we check and see if Fallon actually talked about that last night? Because I guarantee you there's some sort of explanation for them being together. Unless
and then
they're
he
not
pees
live
himself because he's out of control with laughter.
That might be the case.
All right, Rich, what's coming up?
All right, the Bruins. They've got some important games coming up. Tampa Bay, that should be an interesting one. They obviously, they talk about that. And Torrey Krug talks about his upcoming free agency. He's asked about it, so we'll get to that.
We'll talk about that. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
It's a little bit of room now between the Lightning and the Bruins. And what's the deal with Stamkos now? Is he going to be back for the playoffs?
They say at least the rest of the regular season. Team said yesterday is out 6 to 8 weeks.
I mean, obviously everyone around here loves Steven Stamkos. I think that he's one of the most respected players in the NHL.
Why would everyone love him?
Well, because he had that amazing moment during the Eastern Conference Final where he got smashed in the face with a puck. Everyone thought he was gone, and he was out there, what, like 10 minutes later
broke
back on the
nose.
Ice?
He came back with a Pfizer and played with it. Yes.
No, I prefer him out.
Well, I mean,
it makes life a lot easier.
Obviously, him not playing is a benefit to the Bruins, but I think that people like him as a player. He's retoupecked. They give him retoupecked.
No, Stamkos, he's only 30. He's been in the league forever.
God, he seems so... Right, it sounds like he's been here forever, but I mean, he was so good so young.
Yeah.
But right now, the Bruins with 94 points, the Lightning with 87. I think the Bruins have one game in hand. So there is a little bit of a breathing room, but it doesn't mean that these next couple of games against the Lightning aren't going to be extremely important. Of course, tonight, the Bruins travel down to Tampa Bay, and then they got another one on Saturday that's here, and Brad Marchand obviously understands that these are pretty important.
They're big games, no question, you know, but it's not a be-all or end-all. We're going to go and play as if it's any other game and, you know, focus on doing our job, and we'll just deal with each game as it comes. But, yeah, they're big point-wise, but still a lot of games left for both teams, and again, we'll play it game by game.
You'll continue to see, David Pastrnak go on his rampage and possibly make a case for himself to be the best player in the league, the MVP, and now you've got people talking about it, including Bruce Cassidy was asked about that.
Well, the MVP, I mean, he should get some consideration. There's different ways people look at that sometimes. Who's the most valuable to your team if you take that player off the team? Are they, you know, and I think, you know, we have a lot of good players here and rely on the group to perform, but he's certainly done his part and more.
I'd like to see what right now the odds are in Vegas for MVP. I'm looking at it right now. Okay, so you've got Pastrnak is in fourth place. I want to make sure this is recent because you got Connor McDavid, Draisaitl, McKinnon. This is, let's see how old this is. Yeah, this is updated. This was just updated. So they've got him right now at plus 400. the fourth highest right now odds to win the MVP. And then you've got, of course, the Bruins now, who did a pretty good job at the trade deadline freeing up a bunch of cap space, which means, is this a move towards possibly keeping Torrey Krug? This is his final year here. Maybe they'll be able to keep him around. Torrey Krug was asked about that yesterday.
I've kind of pushed it to the side, you know, ever since training camp started, and just tried to, you know, help this team win hockey games in the present, and try to be a part of the, you know, the answer, the solution to winning here. So I haven't thought about it any differently since. So why start now?
Is that something that you would be into, extending him?
They opened up this cap space to make a run at him. Obviously, if they don't get him, they still have cap space to go get somebody else and maybe give DeBrusque a few more dollars as a restricted free agent.
What they're saying is that he would become the by far the highest paid Bruin based on his market value.
Oh, yeah, he's over seven easily. More than that.
Saying like nine.
Yeah. Eight for 72? Something like
that? Yeah, eight. And I think Krejci makes, what, like 7-2?
Yeah, he's making more than anyone.
Yeah.
Didn't he say, though, this last offseason, and listen, that could all change, but this last offseason he was talking about taking a discount, which it does change when you end up making it to the end of your deal. I don't know. Do you think that this is something that he would do, that to stick around with the Bruins, that he would go under market value, or is he going to try to cash in?
I think if he was going to go under market value, they'd be further along in their negotiations right now.
Well, I didn't think they were really able to because they didn't have enough money to until just now.
They have money.
Yeah, but they didn't have enough until they made these moves and cleared that cap space. I think this is now one of the first times they can really talk about this.
This allows them to do more. This allows them to – they technically could get Krug and then give DeBrusque the offer that he wants, but, I mean, they could have always signed Krug. It's just that now this makes it easier.
I thought after the couple deals they made this offseason that they just didn't have the money to do it. I thought that was the whole problem.
Mm. Yeah, the whole opening of the cap situation is specifically for Krug. And you also have to think after next season, Tuukka Rask's contract is up. And you have to think about exactly what he's worth, because Rask is now approaching his mid-30s. I'm sure he'll ask for a lot more than the Bruins would want. And he's having a great year this year.
Right.
You have to start thinking about that as well, and that could affect the Krug negotiations moving forward. So
the thing to do if you're like in your mid 30s is just to become like a journeyman backup. No, because that's where all the cash is at.
I know.
Yeah, you go. That's what every
series of 1 year, $4 or $5 million deals, but still.
But that's what every team wants now, and the Bruins set that off with the Halak stuff and resting Rask. I guess this is the new thing in the NHL is that people want a quality veteran backup. They're willing to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many years do you give Rask if he's 36?
Three.
Oof. Although you see a lot more goalies playing later on in their years.
That was going to be my next point.
You know, I mean, some guys are playing until they're 40 now.
Specifically because you never play goaltenders back-to-back anymore. You always have the quality backup goaltender to limit your starter to 55 games or something like that. That's why goaltenders can play until they're 40.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to give a guy that kind of those many
but
years.
But either way, I mean, you have the big Krug negotiations now. You have DeBrusque as a restricted free agent who you can choose to really screw around with because you have the hammer.
Yeah.
And then after next season, both Krejci and Rask are up. And obviously you're not going to give Krejci another 7.2, but you have to decide the price value on both of them who are about the same age.
Yeah. I would imagine Krejci takes a big, big pay cut.
Well, I mean, he's getting paid a ridiculous amount anyway, so.
Yep. As I said, top salaried guy on the team.
And that cap doesn't seem to move very often. That NHL cap is pretty much stuck in one place. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Well, the NBA, finally, getting memos on how to deal with the coronavirus, and it seems fairly extreme.
Okay, how many cases are now in the United States?
Well, there was a school in Newton, Fred. There were a bunch of students who are they're staying at home. What's the word? They're quarantining from a Newton high school because they took a trip over to Italy. And now, once again, no one has been found to have it. They are just deciding on their own to self-quarantine. But in America, I haven't checked since,
More than 100.
Yep.
There's more than 100.
Keeps growing. I think it was 60 yesterday.
It was 80 yesterday. So, I mean, it's exploding.
Well, I mean, in the next couple of weeks, it will, because it takes like 14 days for you to really show signs.
A doctor told me that people have it and it will never show signs.
Yep, that is true. Some people, they won't.
But then they can infect people who are a little bit more at risk and will show signs.
Yep.
That's the difficulty.
All right, well, again, quarantined in Aruba. That's probably what's in my future.
We had a real discussion yesterday about at what date do we say maybe we're going to stay home from our trip in 2 weeks. Like, so I think Friday's the day we're going to decide whether or not we're just going to stay and whether we're going to fly. See, I'm in a little different situation because my wife's immunity isn't as strong as everyone's.
Yes. Right,
so it's a little bit different. Yeah, so yeah. I think Friday's...
No, I'd say that's a lot different.
Yeah, Friday's the day that we're going to go. Because you have to understand, we're not only just going, like, we're going out west, you know, in the middle of nowhere, but then we're also ending it at Disneyland, which might just be a petri dish right now. So, you know, that's the one part of it that I'm like, well, maybe we go, but we just, instead of going to Disney, we take a left turn and just go to, like, the, you know, the desert and just sit out there and, I don't know, drip balls or something.
You
like
it out there. What difference does it make?
I love it, but the kids are going to lose their effing minds.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if we're out in that area and they don't get to go see Galaxy's Edge, they're going to lose it. So we might just stay home. But
what
we'll
do you think
find
the
out.
Chances are you're going to stay home?
It's feeling like it's 50-50 right now.
Boy.
Friday is when we're going to figure it out. That's when we're going to know. Now, I know a lot of the airlines are starting to give people who are booking new flights a ability to get refunds, but I don't think a lot of them are giving refunds for flights that you've already booked.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's going to change over the next few days, which that's kind of a pain in the ass. We got a decent deal on our flights, and the hotels you can cancel. So it shouldn't be too big of a hit.
Why Friday?
Because that's like a week off. That's like a week away. That's when we can start planning, you know, what we want to do around here.
Wow. So it sounds to me like you're not going.
No, it's like 50-50. We'll see. I want to see how bad this gets.
No, but I understand what Fred's thinking, because everything you just talked about in the last 3 minutes was slanted towards staying here.
No, it's just the first time we had that discussion yesterday, and I started doing all the research, and I started looking around.
Well, ultimately, it should be the way Mary feels. Mary's the one who's most at risk, right?
Yeah, well, that's obviously how it's going. And also, we want to see just how nuts this gets. I mean, if it continues to grow and grow and grow and all these travel restrictions, and then, you know, you find out places like... We're going to Las Vegas and Disneyland. I mean, just the two places that are going to be breeding grounds for just people coughing and tourists and everything like that. I just I don't know if that's really the right trip to take, at least at this time.
And how do you explain that to your kids?
You don't.
But in fairness, there is only 100 people that have it. So, I mean, it's fairly
contained. You can say that, but it's such a big... I mean, when all of these people are coming out and warning you not to travel unless it's essential and all this, I know it's other countries, but I mean... In America, it's starting to get a little bit bigger and bigger. So I don't know.
Okay.
As I said, with my situation, it's better to not take too many risks.
Right.
But so we'll see. By Friday is when we're going to make the call. And that's when you want to see if it's at a fever pitch, no pun intended. And then you will end up, you know, seeing what the situation is.
All right. We'll find out what the NBA is doing, which is fail safe from what I've read. We will be right back.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun?
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. My mom did not care for this song one bit. Meanwhile, I had the Number of the Beast poster on my wall. I was jamming out to the Sex Pistols. But this song, maybe it was the sexiness of the sax.
Yeah. My mother went into my room and took down all my Guns N' Roses posters. All she left up was my Garbage Pail Kids poster, which I had.
Well, that's truly the most evil of things.
I see those Garbage Pail Kids cards now, and like I'm like, I wouldn't let my kids have those. Like, those are like mangled children. Like, how do you like mangle a child? Let's make a baseball card out of it.
Yeah. It's very humorous.
Yeah. Well, I like
Snotty McGee.
I like
them too.
Smell of opening the little package and that with old white powder that was on the gum that would last for forever, for generations. When did they stop putting baseball gum in baseball cards?
Oh man,
like maybe like 90 or like right around then.
I thought it was earlier.
I had a pack from like 1977, and Milo put a piece of gum in his mouth from it.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, there is,
and it didn't suffer any ill effects.
No, I mean, what's going to happen?
Gum is great.
I mean, there's enough chemicals in there to have it survive the apocalypse.
There's a clothing company called Homage that when you order clothes from them, they send you like a pack of baseball cards from the late 80s or 90s. It's like just kind of a thing they throw in there. And it had a stick of that gum in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it smelled, looked exactly the same it did from back in the day. I mean, you would snap it would break. But then again, even when it was fresh, that would happen sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I told him to spit it out, and I wasn't thrilled that he did it. But, yeah, I mean, I think that gum legitimately could survive the apocalypse.
There's no question. There's no question. And by the way, you want to talk about smell being the ultimate, like, memory trigger? That brought me right back. You smell when you open up the pack, and I understand now why people go on eBay and they buy those boxes like you, Fred, like, you know, back in the day. Because, I mean, it does bring you right back to where you were.
Yes. There was a year where my son and I collected baseball cards, and now I have a million hobby boxes that I haven't opened.
It's so funny because I saw this thing of Upper Deck that was for sale back in the day, and I'm like, dude, Upper Deck was like the Rolls Royce of cards. There was like one kid in our school that could afford Upper Deck and nobody else. Like, I was Donruss. Like, Donruss were...
That's ghetto. No, and Topps is in the middle.
Yeah, well, Topps actually had color. Donruss was like orange.
I know.
Like, this depressing orange.
Yeah, you know, no,
it was the poor kid baseball cards. Here's your poor cards.
Topps 87 is like that station wagon wood grain.
Yeah. And then I think it was the next year that they came in the green packs, I think, where, and those were like full color. Those were nice. Mm-hmm. And Fleer were kind of upper level too. But Donruss was the ones that I always had.
Actually, that is it in order. It's like Upper Deck, Fleer, Topps, which everyone had.
And then
Donruss, which is like five levels below.
Which is just a pile of garbage.
I remember that.
Yeah. So I've got a whole box of Donruss cards at home if anyone wants those.
Yeah.
Dig on in.
I have boxes and boxes and boxes of crap that is worth absolutely nothing. All right. When we come back after headlines, there will be no commercials. Like, we got to get on a case or something. We got to get on the case.
Yep.
And we're going to need your help.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is how detectives work. I mean, this is... I won't tell you what's going on, but...
We need the help of the listeners.
And just... We need a little tip line. And that's all I'll say. We'll be back. No commercials. Here's just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
And works on the same floor as Kraft's office. And the guy just called him saying...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.